Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your questions or to discuss the important issues you face in life right now. Toll-free number, 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, we celebrated the most important event in human history this past Sunday, and churches were filled to the brim, overflowing. You know, folks who, you know, only go to church once a year, that's the time they go. Others who kind of feel a tug at the heart, hey, I need to find something. They show up at a church service on Easter and hopefully hear the good news that Jesus is alive, and to hear exactly what it means. Now, I wanted to spend just a few minutes here at the beginning of this broadcast talking about what Christ's death, burial, and resurrection really means. I mean, theologians have been writing about this subject for years. There's just volumes and volumes and volumes of scholarly work to explain the intricacies, the detail of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. For us, we want the simplified version. You know, what does it mean to me? How does an event 2,000 years ago impact me today? Does it make a difference? Is it relevant? Will it change how I live on a day-to-day basis? And the answer is absolutely yes. This event, this historical occurrence that happened 2,000 years ago does weigh heavily on who you are, where you're going, your purpose in life, here and now. First of all, you're dead spiritually. All of us know that. All of us felt that something has been missing in life. There's something just not quite right with us. There's this uneasy restlessness about us in life. Nothing seems to be in sync. Those are all symptoms of being spiritually dead. We all ask the questions, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? You know, Adam and Eve never asked those questions in the garden.
Didn't have to.
They knew who they were. Yeah. They knew where they were going. They knew all of those answers. Those questions didn't happen until after they sinned. Well, what are those questions symptomatic of? The fact that we are dead spiritually, that we were no longer connected to God. Well, what does the death, the burial, and resurrection do? Well, it makes all things right. It takes us back to that garden, to where we can have real life in Jesus Christ. So if you are out there feeling empty, if you are out there longing for something more, if you are wanting to step away from that old, stale, empty life of yours and find real meaning and purpose in life, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is your answer. Yes. Christ died to take away your sins, to put to bed that old, stale life of yours, and then he was raised back to life so that you could have a brand new life. Christianity isn't self-improvement. Christianity is God taking those who are dead in sin and making them alive together with Christ. That's what the gospel is. And so how does that happen? It happens through new birth. Jesus sends his Spirit, and through his Spirit, he gives us new birth. We're born again into the kingdom of God, and through that new birth, we're made alive. That's the gospel message. And once we are made alive, Christ takes up residence in us. Now, why is that so significant to us on a day-to-day basis? One, the fact that we have God's presence within us shows us that we are in God's favor. That's a sign of grace. That's a sign of God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. It's a sign that he's interested, that he cares, that he's concerned about us on a day-to-day basis. The second thing, what did Christ's resurrection show? That God has power over death. well, that's the biggest enemy. I mean, we think there are all these enemies out there, and they're powerful, and they're mean, and they're nasty, and they're evil, and who can win? But you stack them all up, and none compare to the enemy known as death. Death, you know, was ruling, was reigning, but Christ, through his resurrection, proved that death could not hold them down. So God has power over death. Well, what does that mean? If God has power over death, then he has power over any problem that you are facing today. What problem is on your table right now? What problem is in your plate that looks so big that you can't overcome? Well, here's the good news. Jesus Christ is alive, living in you, and he's already shown how powerful he is by being raised back to life. Put that problem into his hands. You will see victory come your way. I guarantee it.
If that problem is yours, friends, let's talk about it on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Again, the phone number, 844-322-2742 or 844-32-BASIC. If you'd like to jot that down and keep it handy, we'd love for you to do that. But we'd love for you to call right now because the lines are wide open. Best opportunity you'll have today to give us a call and discuss your particular question or your particular issue. I like what you said. Christianity is not a self-improvement course. It's God's perfection.
Yes, indeed. All yes, right. Indeed. I know that's how I thought of it so, for so many years, that it was simply a self-improvement program. If I just follow all the rules, all the regulations, do what the Bible told me to do, then I would get better and better and better. And I found just the opposite happened. I became more and more aware of my sinfulness, my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. But that's what God wanted me to know, so that I could find his strength and his power and know that that was available to me on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Well, Tim in Indianapolis would like to know something. He says, I'm trying to understand the true meaning of what the term antinomianism means. Does God apply, does it apply to true, pure grace believers?
No, it doesn't apply to true grace believers. Antinomianism is a big, huge, long word that basically means without law. So Paul basically raised the question in Romans 6, what are you saying then? Should we go on sinning so that grace may abound? So he's saying, can we just go out and do anything we want? Is there no guidelines or no laws or anything to govern us under grace? And that's what many of the critics say, that we are antinomianist, that we are without law, that we're against law. But that's not the way it is it, Richard?
Oh, not at all. In fact, Paul is very explicit in Romans 3. I'll just read the last verse, 31. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Which is the question. Are we antinomian? Have we rejected the law? He says, not at all. Rather, we uphold the law, because it's the law that showed us our need for a Savior, our inability to live in any way as God would have us live. And once it has done that work, according to Galatians, we're done with it. And so we uphold the law. We rejoice in the law because it pointed out the need for Jesus. And now that we have Jesus, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit who is I love the way you say, it causes us to live on a completely higher plane than the law, the mere behaviorism.
Yes.
You know, the law can always point out that my behavior fails, but only the Spirit can deal with my attitudes, my heart attitudes. And that's what part of his job is, to renew my mind, to make me aware of who Jesus is and how his victory can be my victory, and to lead me step by step throughout my life to conform to the image of Jesus.
Yes. So the point that you were making there, that we uphold the law,
yes,
I think that is so key to us. I want to dwell there just sure. for a few more minutes. If I receive forgiveness, mm-hmm. and in other words, Christ offers forgiveness and I receive it, in that receiving, I'm making an admission of guilt.
Correct.
I am guilty of all of the sins that I've done. I'm not trying to plead no contest. I'm not trying to plead, insanity. I'm not trying to plead anything other than the fact that I'm guilty. If I receive forgiveness from God, And that's what I receive at the time of my salvation. If I receive forgiveness, I am confessing guilt. I am saying I am guilty as charged. Well, who charged me? The law.
The law.
So I'm agreeing with what the law said. I'm also agreeing that the penalty was death. Mm-hmm. And I am agreeing that Jesus took my death for me. That in dying in my place, he fulfilled the law for me.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the law doesn't say anything about resurrection. The law has no clause about resurrection. So once I have died in Christ, and that's what happens through faith, we are placed right there with Christ. As Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. If I've died with Christ, then the law has nothing more to say to me.
Correct.
It can't speak to me. And now resurrection occurs. I'm raised to walk in the newness of life, and now I'm governed by the Holy Spirit. And so we have the laws of faith, hope, and love written on our hearts. That's how we live as new covenant believers, by faith in Jesus Christ, hope anchored in the future that we have, expressed in love one for another. So Paul talks about the law of the Spirit of life. That's the law we're under today in this new covenant, the law of the Spirit of life. We see that in the book of James, the law of freedom. So as new covenant believers, the old covenant law has been put aside. We've died to that. Mm-hmm. It has nothing more to say to us.
Correct.
And now we walk in this new covenant where the Spirit puts faith, hope, and love within our hearts, and that's how we live out this new covenant life.
Yeah. Well, open lines again, 844-322-2742. Calls coming in. Glad to hear from you folks.
Yes, we are. Let's go to Teresa's listening to us on our great affiliate, WMCA. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, how are you all? I love you all so much, and I pray for you constantly, and I just want to thank you always for what you do.
Nice. Well, thank you, Teresa. That just makes our day.
Yes, I love you guys. I've been going through some very difficult times with my mother right now, who is suffering with dementia, and your radio archives bring me such comfort at night when I can't sleep, so thank you. And I hope it does the same for many people.
Well, thank you, Teresa.
Yes. I just have a question for you, and then I'm going to hang up so I can listen. Regarding fasting, what that has to do with us as New Covenant believers, if you could just maybe talk about that a little bit, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, Teresa, we would be glad to talk about that. It's an interesting subject.
Yes.
Fasting is one of those things that show up in a list of spiritual disciplines. Mm-hmm. So some people want to fast to draw closer to God. Some people want to fast to find out what God's will is for their lives. Others use it to say, hey, I'm more spiritual than you. So there's lots of reasons that people fast. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 58, I think that's one of the best passages of Scripture that really deal with fasting. And the prophet was chastising the leaders. Why? Because they were using fasting as a way to climb a spiritual ladder, to make themselves look better than what they really were. And then the prophet says, no, fasting isn't that at all. It's when you get so caught up in serving others that you forget about yourself, that your own physical need for food is absorbed or subsumed in this great work that God is doing in and through you. So that's what the prophet Isaiah laid out on the table as far as fasting was concerned. Are there times that we can do that today where we get so caught up in serving the needs of others that we forget about the needs of ourselves? Absolutely. But do we set out and say, oh, I'm going to fast today? No, it's something that just follows the fact that I'm making myself available to the living Christ to live in and through me. And he catches me so up into the needs of others that I don't even think about me. And I think that's the way it should be. I know there was a time in my life where, you know, I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. It was right after college, and it was just one of those critical moments in life. Which direction do I take? And I thought, well, Lord, I just want to get in your word. I just want to read. I just want to, and it was like a 5 or 6 hour time where I just was absorbed in God's word. And after that, I came out of that and I said, I think I know what I'm supposed to do. And took a job with a chemical company that was going to transfer me out to Texas. And I thought, and for some reason in that transfer, I was going to find out what God wanted me to do with the rest of my life. So I took the job, got transferred out to Dallas, and within a short time got connected with this ministry. But I wasn't saying, Lord, I'm going to fast. I just said, Lord, I want to get into the Word of God. I want to pray a little bit and see what you have for me. And so I went a number of hours, and you look at that and say, wow, that was fasting. But I didn't set out to do that. I set out to say, Lord, I want to read your word. And so I think we have to not look at it as one of those things we do in order to get closer to God. I think we look at it in a different way, that God can sometimes set us aside and say, you know, I want to talk to you today. Or I want to use you today to meet the needs of others. And you look at that and you say, hey, I guess that's what fasting is all about.
There's the difference. Is the Holy Spirit motivating you from the inside out, or is some condition, you know, that you're trying to solve motivating you from the outside in?
Right.
Friends, if you live on the East Coast, particularly in the Washington area, you have a great opportunity to come and see and hear some great Bible teachers and authors. One of them happens to be Bob Christopher, another Andrew Farley, and yet another John Lynch, as they celebrate the extravagant love of God. Speakers in the Network 220 Convention, April 24th through the 26th in Bristow, Virginia. And you can get information and register online. You just click the events tab at basicgospel.net. And I know that Bob and Andrew and John would love to see you there. It's going to be a fantastic time, and I wish I were going to be there.
It is going to be a great time. I know quite a number of people have already signed up, but there's plenty of room. The facility there, I think, will hold up to 1,000 people, maybe even more. Mm-hmm. We would love to see that place filled up. You know, the grace of God is the most important message out there. I mean, Paul dedicated his whole life to testifying to the grace of God. That's what he said at the end of his life. He said, I just want to finish the race and complete the task that God has given me. And then he explained, and that task is the task of testifying to the grace of God. The grace of God is everything. Apart from grace, we're nothing. Absolutely nothing. So it's a message that we need to know, not just as a doctrinal or a doctrine that we can articulate, but as our very way of life. The whole way this Christian life works is by grace through faith. And that's what this conference is all about. Man, we invest in all sorts of things. How to invest our money. Man, you can find a seminar any day of the week, any place in the world on how to invest your money. And you go and you try to invest and you lose your money. You can find all sorts of training seminars on how to be a better salesman, on how to have a better attitude, how to be more positive, how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife. Well, all of that is meaningless apart from the grace of God. I encourage you to come to a conference that is solely dedicated to the proclamation of the grace of God. It is so radical, so outrageous, so scandalous that if you actually listen, it will revolutionize your life. Come and be a part of this. April 24th through the 26th. I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed.
And again, registration and information available from the events tab at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Michael listening to us in Queens on WMCA. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine, thank you.
Thanks. I just want to have a question about, like, in James, I think it's in the fourth chapter, they talked about, like, we're going to a certain city for a year and live there and do business and make money. Can you explain that to me, kind of? Because I'm thinking about, like, I have a friend who has a business proposal that that he's offering me to go into business with him. So I'm just wondering, as you know, how do I work that out with, you know, like with this verse?
Well,
how do I know if I should do it? If it, you know, if you know, if it's in God's will to go into a certain business, maybe with my friend, you know.
Well, I think the passage in James, James is really speaking to presumption. Basically, yeah, the attitude that says, hey, I've got my plan and it's going to work. Yeah. Well, we don't know for sure. We don't know what's going to happen to us tomorrow, do we, Michael?
Yeah.
No, we absolutely don't. Our life is basically a vapor. It can be here today, gone tomorrow. So we don't have a clue. So what James is really saying is that our hearts need to be prepared. That we need to be in the hands of Christ Jesus. We need to know that that's where our life is, in him. It's not in our plans. It's not in, you know, the things that we want to accomplish, those achievements and goals that we have for us that are going to happen sometime in the future, that our life, the real source of life, is Jesus Christ. And if I'm in him, then I have everything I need. And if my plans don't work out the way that I wanted them to work out, I know that God has something different for me, that God can work it all together for good, and that he does work it all together for good. That's his promise. So, Michael, right, I say you make plans, you step out, but you step out knowing that at any moment God could change those plans, move you in a completely different direction, and that's okay. Because being in his hands is the absolute best place to be.
Right. So what you're saying is, like, I could still just step out in faith. Let's say, like you know, if I think it's a good deal, you know, like a good friend, and then I could go into business with him. And then, you know, it's like that. But, right, I can't just, like, totally depend on it. Still, I should, you know, like, I'm just saying, like, how do I find out if it's in God's will? Like, I still should pray about it, right?
Pray about it, and then you take a step. You take a step of faith.
Going to business, you know, just, you know, because, you know, it's not saying that, oh, we shouldn't plan to go into business or do anything.
Right.
It's like,
right,
that's not what that
right
verse means, right?
Right. James is just talking about the person who boasts and brags about,
yeah,
right, hey, I'm going to do this, and you know, I'm macho man, I'm going to make it happen, and that sort of thing. Well, you have no earthly, you have no earthly idea. And he goes on to say, you know, rather say this, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that.
Right. Okay.
That's what he's saying. So make your plans. Step out in faith, but recognize that your life is in Christ. Your life is hidden with God in Christ Jesus. That's the best place. Okay.
Right, because I know, like, everything we do it for the Lord, like the Bible says. Right.
That's right.
Whether we work, yeah. You know, okay. All right. Thank you.
I think you've got it right, Michael. Hey, thanks for your call. God bless.
Okay.
Keep
thank
us
you
posted. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We sure have enjoyed this program.
Yeah.
It went by so quickly. Brad, sorry that we could not get to your call on the air today, but we do have a wonderful offer for people this month. We've talked about the resurrection. How do we know the resurrection actually occurred? How can we prepare ourselves to give an answer to those who ask about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And in this world we live today, that question is going to be asked time and time again. And that's our offer today, proof, the resurrection.
And it's yours to each one of you who give to support Basic Gospel. Many of you have and continue to do so. And it's more than supporting a radio broadcast. You know, the gifts that you make through this ministry make you a part of every life that is touched and every soul that is saved by hearing the gospel message on the air and online, or online through Basic Gospel. You know, it's an incomparable blessing to know that you've had a part in making a forever change in somebody's life. So with that in mind, we ask you to continue with us to do the good work, the work that you've begun. And if you haven't yet become a part of the ongoing support of the message of God's love through Basic Gospel, why, we ask you right now, today, to join with us. You will find an online support link at basicgospel.net, or during Central Time office hours, speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Well, that's it for today, everybody. For Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.